From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Thursday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Jeffrey Wright on the line. We'll get to him in 1 second. Chris Lowe also joining us today, the ESPN writer that did the All Access with Lane Kiffin, a couple days of his introduction and whatnot. So we'll have that to you today as well on the show as we talk plenty more football, plenty more Lane Kiffin, and I assume over the course of the next hour or so here with you. And remember, there's a basketball game on Saturday against Middle Tennessee. Make sure you know that your ticket is a coupon to the Oxford Crystal, $150 off a steamer pack or a sack full there with the Oxford Crystal, or go next door to the Oxford Exxon. Ribs, lunch specials, daiquiris, you know the drill by now. Take advantage of all that there. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. That number, call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes. In business hours, it's right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop it around, or you can do what we have done in my family several times now, and that's hop into a Clark Ford. You'll love the product. You'll love the service after the sale. Corey wants to be your car guy. He wants to be your truck guy. He will prove that to you. All you got to do is make that call, 662-257-1900.
So we talked to you the other night, obviously, on hand raise, guys. It was going on, but as you watched everything the last few days, what's been your take on just kind of the way Ole Miss has transformed its attitude as much as anything over these 72 hours?
My thing is, it is nice when I basically have held this opinion. This is what Ole Miss should have done for 2 years. And, you know, it's one of those things that you can almost say at that point, just simply because you're like, well, there's no way they'll do that. So you can almost say it. It is nice to kind of see, it's like, okay, well, I've always believed this in theory. I wasn't just saying it to be hot air guy. And then you watch the reaction, you watch the response, and it's not even like a "see, I told you so." For me, it's been, you know what? These people deserve to have some fun, deserve to feel good about their football program, deserve to feel good. It's also nice timing. If anyone's looking for a 3-bedroom, 3-bath condo on the square, I know a man. It's just kind of, I don't know, it almost confirms, you know what I mean? Like, an idea that you've held in your head?
Yeah, I think that's fair. He's done the national media tour. He was on Dan Patrick yesterday, did a pretty good job there. That stuff will obviously stop once the introduction stuff until Ole Miss wins. But it is interesting, just from a relevant standpoint, how, not that it got into the national conversation. We knew that was going to happen with Lane Kiffin. But it's had at least a few days of staying power, which in today's media world, that's somewhat impressive, considering when on its face it's the FAU coach headed to Ole Miss after a 4-8 season. You know what I mean? Like, it's had some staying power in a national climate that's frankly sort of interesting and weird as this week moves forward.
No, I mean, you know, as we've discussed with Kiffin, if you look at his career on paper, it is fascinating, because you would have assumed, like, wait, what went wrong? At some point, you know what I mean? Like, as Chase said, like, if you looked at his career backwards, it makes more sense than if you looked at it going the other way. And now when you throw in the FAU and Ole Miss run, now it makes even less sense. Rightly, wrongly, like, Lane Kiffin's a celebrity, and I'm not saying that a celebrity culture is a positive or a negative thing, but it is a reality. And this is something that has helped Ole Miss immensely. I know Neil mentioned on Monday that it was 500 new ticket orders, not 500 new season tickets. It's 500 new ticket orders, and that was just online orders in basically a 24-hour period. So it checked every single box that you needed. You needed to put people in the seats. You needed to I mean, I guess for a lack of a better term, give the defibrillator paddles to your football program and to your brand. But that would also mean that, like, I thought it was capable of being revived. And it had reached a point where I didn't really know if it would be, because I didn't know if a decision like this was ever going to be made. And it was 100% the right call. I think if you're arguing that at this point, I just don't think that you are thinking logically or reasonably. And Ole Miss found, I think, its perfect fit.
Somebody who has some at least understanding of how these numbers could be impacted over the course of the year said that Lane Kiffin being hired versus Matt Luke staying, at least $20 million increase for the university at this point over the course of this year, in their opinion, from merchandise to tickets to concessions to increased donations, everything. They thought a reasonable number was $20 million.
Does that include if they were to get bowl eligible and go to a bowl game?
No. I'm strictly talking about just in-house Ole Miss stuff. Not even like, hey, extra anything.
So they paid for the buyout just within a five-day period.
I think they will be able to, yeah.
I think they paid for the buyout on Monday.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
I mean, literally. Made up the difference.
Yeah, I mean, from an economic standpoint, easy decision.
And credit to Keith Carter. It was not, you know, as you guys have said repeatedly, you know, maybe at a different time or any other coaching search, the hangups on this coaching search would have prevented Ole Miss from making this decision.
We've downplayed it, and I'm been increasingly angry at myself for agreeing to downplay it over the course of the week. He did something that I'm not sure everybody keeps going, Bjork wouldn't have done it. Fair enough. I'll go beyond that. I'm not willing to stick Ross alone on that boat and sink it. None of the previous ADs at all. Pete Boone wouldn't have done it. Warner Alford wouldn't have done it. I don't know who the hell was here before that. I'm sure I'm missing somebody.
Hey, John Schaefer is rolling in a grave.
He wouldn't have done it.
I don't
I mean, pick your previous Ole Miss administrator. He wouldn't have done it. Just keeping it real, Carter did it. He literally tied his reputation to it, but he did it at a time when it was his opinion that you had to do it. And so he did it, and he had showed some conviction. And we've downplayed just how much the pushback was and from where it came from. Basically, at the request of some people there that we respect. So we've kept it quiet, but I'm mad at myself for doing it.
And just because something is an obvious decision does not mean that it is also at the same time an easy decision. And it wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't an easy decision to make. It wasn't a clean decision to make. He had to navigate some very difficult political waters. And from that perspective, you know, for all the praise he is getting right now, he deserves it, in my opinion.
Oh, I completely agree. He's done more to win the respect and trust of the constituency that he works for than in, what's it been, 2-3 weeks?
About 3 weeks now.
3 weeks. Then
November 22nd was his first day.
And again, I'm not willing to throw Ross Bjork alone on a boat by himself and go sink. He's done more than anybody of any of his predecessors, that at least in my memory, I'm not an Ole Miss historian, nor do I want to be one. He is the people that I'm aware of. He's done more than they ever did in their entire tenure.
Yeah, you know, Schaefer, I think he's just bored at this point. I called him for that Mike Bianco or that Swayze Phil story or something I wrote, and he just kind of wanted to talk. I had like three questions, and now like an hour later, he's like, just how's your kids? Like, it was like, oh my God, like this dude. He was like, yeah, just call me anytime. And I thought, yeah, you're just hanging out on the couch at this point. You're a bored man at whatever your age is. But
yeah, I think his claim to fame is he told Mike Bianco in his interview that I don't know if we can ever win in football or basketball, but we can win a national title in baseball.
He did say that.
That's what you want from your AD in the SEC.
Rebel fan says Ross protected himself to the detriment of the university. It goes beyond that. I'm just telling you, you can't single Ross Bjork out. It goes much further than that. It's an institutional thing. Carter bucked in decades of an institutional mindset, not just Ross Bjork. It just to single out Bjork because he's basically essentially because he's not an Ole Miss guy and it's easier to blast on him than it is Warner Alford and some of the people that ran the program into the absolute ground back at a time when the league was moving forward is just not it's disingenuous. It's just not fair.
Is Memphis going to hire? Also, go ahead.
Says Ross's fate was sealed on that weekend of the 2014 Egg Bowl when Ole Miss was, it appeared, prepared to let Hugh Freeze walk to Florida.
Yeah.
When they won that game and then they decided to keep Hugh Freeze, I think their fate was sealed from that point forward. They were just living on borrowed time. At least in that version of Ole Miss's brand was living on borrowed time.
Yeah, I think looking back on it, you're exactly right. I remember going back to that Friday night, talking to someone in that administration, like, hey, you know, what are you guys going to do? And it was kind of a, hey, there are other coaches. It's going to be all right. Looking back on it, they kind of felt like, hey, let's get this done. Let's move on. We'll hire another guy. And we can kind of let this kind of disappear in a quiet way.
The irony of it all is, you know, I have pretty good sourcing on this. The team was convinced he was leaving. And they played that day almost to kind of stick it to him.
Yeah, I think looking back, there's some truth to that. One of those weird things. So speaking of, what's Memphis doing with that spot? Are they going to promote the coordinator? He did give a really good speech the other day, like where he communicates really well. I liked what he said about search the nation. They should search the nation. I think they'll come back to here. And the way that he communicated, it was pretty good.
If you made me guess today, my answer is yes, that is where I think this is headed. However, I do not even believe they've even done interviews yet. And I'm not even saying like, oh, well, you know, no one's been interviewed. I think they're getting their list of quote unquote finalists together. And then I expect that over the course of, you know, from now, probably through Saturday, maybe even into Sunday, that's when they'll start conducting their interviews. The problem that they have is take the fan response and popularity of when Lane Kiffin's name was essentially made public for Ole Miss and go in the exact opposite direction, and that would be Barry Odom's candidacy at Memphis. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I mean, Dave Matter, who I know a little bit from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, he had a story in which he ran some numbers about Odom's tenure. And I know Gabe would be the first to tell us Odom's tenure is complicated if you're trying to assess it.
Yeah,
but he would also say the fact remains he comes from the Neil McCready school. The fact remains he didn't win enough games. He was 4-24. Against teams with a winning record.
Ooh.
That's tough, guys.
And he's about to land on his feet too. He's about to get a seven figure salary as the defensive coordinator at Arkansas and continue to draw his Missouri buyout. I gotta figure out a way to double dip like that.
I wonder who his agent is. Will Healy, I think, will get a strong look from Memphis. I think Barry was, I think his candidacy was real. And I think they started to read the tea leaves. I mean, you want to talk about, as I told Neil this off the air, if you think you've covered some Ole Miss coaching searches where there are too many cooks in the kitchen, boys, let me tell you about the one going on here. And I'm not going to criticize their process until I see what happens, because their process the last two times yielded Justin Fuente and Mike Norvell. I think there is probably a coordinator or someone in the assistant ranks that his name has not been made public yet or not been reported yet that I would presume is in the mix. I know we like to make the joke about a mystery candidate, a mystery recruit, but the signs very much point to there is someone out there that we are missing. And I don't think it's I don't think it's like with the Ole Miss thing where you would go, am I missing something? I think we've been kind of navigated to say, hey, there is someone else, or, you know, there's someone else that's being considered. I just don't know who that would be at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we missed Drinkwitz. Had it fallen past Kiffin, we would have been just like, okay,
right.
Well,
my great. My gut was right. Yeah, I knew I was missing something. I knew it was too straight-lined to be accurate. Because the Napier stuff, even though it floated, now I know where it floated from. Because
Napier?
There was... No, in fairness to Billy Napier.
He did not engage with anyone the entire week.
In fairness to Billy Napier, it wasn't him. I think it was the Ole Miss faction that did not want Lane Kiffin floated his name as an alternative. They used a media outlet to do it, and it worked. And so it created just enough buzz around when in conversations and stuff, because I would get calls from, I mean, I can say it now, Chris Landry called me a couple of times and said, are you hearing anything about Billy Napier? And I kept saying, no, are you? And he goes, well, it's just kind of rumbling around down here, which makes sense because you know where Chris is in South Louisiana. And so I would just always kind of keep his name out there just so that in case it was Napier, I wouldn't look like a complete and total idiot. But I never got any smoke on, I mean, any traction on Napier in the same way that I did on obviously Norvell and obviously Kiffin. Yeah. And I just missed Drinkwitz. I'll give Keith Carter credit. He did that and stealthily. Had it been Elijah Drinkwitz, I would have just said, well, at least we all got beat.
Yeah, with Napier, everybody you talked to said, hey, I don't know, not really Pollitt. It was just kind of some stuff there.
I'm taking the political correctness out of here. They used a media outlet that they knew would just run with it. They knew.
No, but I'm saying everybody who mentioned Napier, nobody thought he was a fit here is my point. Right. It was never like, nobody ever went, eh.
They were careful not to come to us because they knew we would probably actually vet it with a couple of people and come up empty and not go with it. That was all part of a ploy to undermine what was happening.
I do feel, in fairness, Godfrey, I do think, thought he would be a fit. I think Godfrey thinks highly of him. I will say
he does. He likes him a lot. But Godfrey never reported that he was a legitimate candidate.
No, for sure there. But because I'm like with Chase, you talk to a lot of people and they go, I don't know. Like, you know, he got fired at Clemson. Some of the places he's run the offenses.
He's boring. It wouldn't have done anything from a PR standpoint or from a getting apathy out of the program standpoint.
It was frankly one of those deals where he would have been more of the same. Just change the suit. Yeah.
Yes, and the coaching tree. I will say this. It does. I do think his name was brought up here, and I don't think it was necessarily pushback. It just appears to me that he feels good about his roster next year, and he's kind of punning, and he'll do the same thing again this time next year.
It's a real gamble. I respect people that decide to do it, but often it backfires. You talk to people about, you know, group of five jobs and that kind of thing, and they'll tell you that unlike the Power Five leagues where the rosters have depth, those group of five jobs, man, you can lose you have an injury or two, and you can go from 10-2 to 6-6 or worse fast.
Took a break in the show to tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, the float down option, and with rates as low as they've been in about 2 years. Good time to talk to Jason. That's 662-234-2704. Or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We published a Mind on My Money podcast yesterday. It is brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 20 states. They've got advisors in multiple states as well. They were founded in 1997. Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. They treat investing like a commodity. Decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan built just for you. Pintrust.com, PINNtrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast. You get 10% off your first year's fee. We're also brought to you by Nest and Wild. Sleep better with a Nest and Wild mattress. Nest and Wild is a Mississippi-based mattress company making a high-quality mattress delivered right to your door. They make buying a new mattress easy. Every Nest and Wild mattress is 1 foot thick, giving you comfort and support that will last. A lot of online brands sell an 8-inch or 10-inch mattress with less support and durability. But from the twin size to the California King, every Nest and Wild mattress is 1 foot thick. They're 100% American made. The pricing's competitive with the rest of the mattress companies in their tier. And getting this quality of mattress for the money is a great value for the customer. Throw in the podcast discount, which we'll get to in a minute, and it's even better. Make it even better. On top of that, you can fight cancer with Nest and Wild. They've partnered with former Major League pitcher Jason Mott and his foundation to fight cancer. They donate a portion of every mattress sale back to Jason's charity. It's a no-risk decision. Nest and Wild believes in their product so much they're offering a 99-night trial on every mattress. So try it out. Sleep on it for 99 nights. And if you don't like it, you can return it. Go to nestandwild.com. Order your mattress. Use the podcast code REBEL20 and get 20% off your purchase. Your mattress will arrive at your door in 3 to 5 days. Jeffrey Wright and Chris Lowe joined us today on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters is sports, music, drink, and food, known for its great food, New Orleans-style po' boys, and handcrafted burgers, all with the Cajun flair. Rafters on the Square offers the best sports viewing in Oxford with 4 large flat screens plus a 17-foot big screen on the Rafters stage. Rafters is known for its famous Bloody Mary, but they've got 3 full bars, including an outside patio bar. They're open Monday through Thursday, 5 p.m., Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. The Sunday brunch is voted the best brunch in Oxford, and it features live bluegrass bands, $3 mimosas. It starts at 10:45, goes until 3. That's at Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford.
Well, it's the same problem that I think is has potential at Memphis. If something happens to Kenny Gainwell, I don't know what the offense looks like, because there's 2 things about the Memphis job that are interesting. One, in my opinion, is unquestionably a better job than the day Mike Norvell took it. But the problem is Mike Norvell took it, and he went 11-1 this year. And not only did he go 11-1, I think he maxed out what this job actually is. And then when you add some context, okay, well, Houston is unexpected to, or it's not expected for Houston to be, you know, what they were this year and bad for long. Dana is trying to rebuild the roster essentially in a year. Dana's a good football coach. I don't think they're going to stink forever. You look at what Willie Fritz has done at Tulane. It doesn't appear that Willie Fritz is on the move this year. So you got to think that they're going to run it back again. SMU is clearly a better program. Tulsa got frisky again. Memphis gets UCF on the schedule next year. You start to look at the things that, if I'm a coach that's trying to use this job as a stepping stone, okay, so year one, I'm following a guy that just went 11-1. He went to the Cotton Bowl. I'm not quite sure what my quarterback situation is. I maybe don't know the landscape of how to build a roster at that school. And you start to see where it's clearly a better job, but you could also understand at the same time, you can hold 2 thoughts. Like, okay, this is clearly a good Group of 5 job, but I have concerns about following the best coach that they've ever had.
What it appears, and I'm going to be careful here, it appears based on, but I talked to someone last night who was like, man, be careful jumping the gun on this. You could be wrong. So I'll leave myself some wiggle room. It appears that McIntyre is going to stay at Ole Miss as the defensive coordinator. Again, that, to my knowledge, is not finalized. It is not done. And again, I had someone very close to it tell me to slow my roll on it. if he stays as a defensive coordinator, do you think that's a good move on Kiffin's part?
I do, because there's two reasons. Number one, I do think it helps during a transition to have some familiarity, something that kind of bridges the gap. And then B, he's a good football coach. And I think he's someone that Lane would respect. I definitely think he's someone probably that Lane's dad respects. And to me, you know, if you're giving out season grades for last year, I think he probably earned the highest marks for Ole Miss's football team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that says. I don't know if that's a low bar to clear, but I do think if you're not able to get the type of candidate that you want, maybe someone that you focused on, that seems like a pretty good fallback option to me. That seems like a pretty high floor fallback option.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Got you for a couple more minutes here. Yesterday, Lane was on the Dan Patrick show, and we talked about it. It's refreshing for us because we actually kind of will pay attention, not just zone out all the time. But how many SEC coaches at the moment would let their guard down enough to make the Saban Brooks from Shawshank Redemption reference that he did yesterday? It did at least show, hey, I'm just going to answer the question. I'm not going to get so off into coach speak and be terrified to say anything at all. I think the answer might be under three at this point in this league. There's no personality much in this league anymore from a coach standpoint.
Gus, no.
No.
Orgeron publicly, no.
Yep.
Sam
Pittman, no. Jimbo,
Sam Pittman,
no.
No.
I want to get back to Sam Pittman in a moment.
Yep.
No. Moorhead, no.
You know what's funny? Remind me on this. I talked to Mike Griffith yesterday, the AJC. It's on a beer garden that'll come out later today. He had when he first made the take, I was like, oh, that's just a stupid hot take. And then the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, you're right. His take was, if you're Arkansas and you're going to hire Sam Pittman, why not hire Matt Luke? SEC head coach, SEC head coaching experience, younger than Sam Pittman. In many ways, a younger Sam Pittman.
I mean,
they wanted the guy they knew.
No, and I would go a step further. Listen, I get it. It's easy to make fun of the yes sir. With that being said, if I'm driving down Poplar Avenue and I see the trains are coming, and that means I'm getting flashing yellows for a couple of miles, and I don't ever have to stop, I find myself just giving myself a little yes sir. Like, he has more personality. And
yeah,
I'm not saying that it's the line that determines success and failure as a head coach.
Killed Matt.
But I do think personality and I do think charisma matters.
It does.
And
I told people at Ole Miss the last 2 years, I said, You've got to talk to Matt about messaging. You've got to talk to him about personality. You've got to get him to let his guard down. You've got to get him to be human, because he is with kids and he is in small groups. But in these press conferences, it's so stale. And the response was always, well, you know, I'm like, then stop doing them. There's no law that says you have to have these press conferences. Don't have them. And it just goes in one ear and out the other. It's why I hope, I really do, I hope Kiffin comes in and just shakes up the whole way they do it.
Yeah, and listen, Sam Pittman might, you know, he's going to be a first-time head coach. And that roster is clearly going to be something that, from a stylistic perspective, that's not going to be what he has in mind. With that being said, I do think, despite it being choice number 8 or maybe lower, I do think Arkansas took a look in the mirror and said, what was an identity that was repeatable?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look at how Arkansas was trending when Pittman was there before he went to Georgia, and they were clearly forming an identity. They went and got Dan Enos, who I actually like. I when I watch Dan Enos's offenses, I like him. Like I like what he does. But all of a sudden, you know, you look at what, you know, Arkansas's thrown it 35, 40 times a game, which, again, as a sworn defender of the Allen family to the death, I can understand falling into that trap. It would be very, very easy. But then they started to lose their identity, and then they were just kind of, you know, it felt like, you know, just stuck in train release patterns, man, you know? And I think what they did, they found a guy that they can build an identity around. And I do think it's fascinating, despite the fact that, you know, when you see Sam Pittman is hired as the Arkansas coach, for the most part, that hire's not really being rejected.
Yeah, and I think he's at least getting a little bit of play there. No, I agree. I mean, it's not sexy, it's not cool, but I do think a lot of football people at least go, eh, I don't know that I'm sold, but I completely understand what you're saying. But anyway, all right, got to go to Chris. Appreciate it, bud. I'll see you this weekend.
All right, guys.
Chris, welcome into the show. Thanks so much for being with us. How are you?
Great to be with you, Neil. Doing great, man.
So before we get into the actual story, which was excellent, by the way, I really enjoyed it. Give me, if you can, as much sort of a behind the scenes, how this came about. It's hard to pull these off, and today's media, it speaks a lot to the trust those people had in you, and it also speaks a lot to your foresight. How did that just kind of come about that you were able to get embedded with Lane Kiffin on such a big day in his career?
Well, first of all, because I read all your excellent timely reports that he's going to be the coach, I was able to get the ball rolling.
Well, I appreciate
now,
that.
I knew that, I think we all knew that Lane was the target, and I go back with Lane a ways, going all the way back to, you know, when he got the Tennessee job back in, God, it's hard to believe, that's been 11 years ago, 2009, or actually got the job, I guess, in the latter part of 2008. So we have a relationship, go back a ways. So I knew he was going to get the job, and it was Arkansas or Ole Miss, and he preferred Ole Miss, and working the story much as you and everybody else had. I just, you know, brought it up. Hey, let's do a behind the scenes. You know, I'll fly down to Boca and fly up with you, and they were on board with it. You know, and it helps, as you know, Neil. I mean, you've done it for a long time to have relationships with different people, and I'm blessed to have covered now with ESPN a bunch of different schools. You know, when I was in Nashville, the Tennessean, you know, for 10 years, I pretty much just covered Tennessee. And it's harder when you just cover one school to get out and get to know a lot of different people. But in the last, you know, 12 years of ESPN, and of course you do when you cover ball at one paper, but, you know, you get out and get to know different people. So that helps. And, you know, to be able to get in and do something like that. It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate Lane and his family. And Ryan and Robin are great. His parents, you know, his representation, Jimmy Sexton and CA, and Ole Miss. I mean, Keith Carter and Kyle Campbell, you know, for allowing me to be a part of that. And I like doing those kinds of stories and trying to do my best to paint a picture of what those situations are like. But you know what? Kudos to the Ole Miss fans, man, because that scene at the airport on Sunday night there, the small airport, Oxford, I guess it's what, University of Oxford Airport, was incredible. I mean, I've seen a lot in 32 years in this business. You know, fan bases that are fired up and excited. But that reception was unbelievable, Neil. I mean, I guess it was close to 1,000. And they were lining the road. When we left, after we got in the SUVs and left the airport, the road, they were lined up all the way down the road leaving the airport.
You know what it reminded me of, Chris? And listen, be careful here. I'm not comparing Lane Kiffin to Nick Saban. I'm not saying that Lane Kiffin is going to have a run of success like the incredible dynastic success that Nick Saban has had at Alabama. I'm just talking about the scenes. The scene in Oxford on Sunday night reminded me a lot of the scene in Tuscaloosa when Nick Saban arrived to take the job there. Very similar. Small airports, people packed all over the tarmac, people getting babies kissed and stuff like that. It was very similar.
It was. And again, I, you know, there's so many, as I think back to that night, that whole weekend was a whirlwind because I flew down like on the spur of the moment Saturday to get to Boca, and then actually drove back from Oxford, west of Knoxville, and got a room in Jackson, Tennessee, and wrote the story because they wanted me to turn it around quicker. But so those 3 days are all blur. But as I remember back to that night, you're right, that is a good analogy. But the thing that sticks out to me, two things, is Lane's eyes as he was about to get off the plane, and you could just see him burning with conviction and confidence and gratitude. And Lane understands he's getting another shot here. I mean, that's the difference in Lane now than 10 years ago when he was at Tennessee. He's still got that edge, but there's a lot more. He's a lot more gracious and a lot more. I think he looks at things. Neil, I said this on Fine Bomb last night. He stands back 1,000 feet away a lot better than he used to, and looks at things and understands that, you know, it's not just about Lane Kiffin, but the conviction and the confidence and the gratitude in his eyes. And then leaving the airport again, all those people lining that road, and he's reaching out and trying to high five as many of them as he could, and saying all the different things to them and signs. And even when you love this, he even went he turned around one time and said, "I'm gonna go all Gruden on these guys." And kept saying, "I love you, man. Love you, man." You know, so his wit, man, is surpasses just about any coaches. He's right up there with Spurrier as far as that sharp wit.
Yeah, he's very similar.
But it was a wild scene. It was cool to be a part of that. You know, you could feel the hunger, the Elvis fans. Hey, maybe we got a guy. Hopefully, we got a guy in here. You know, that's going to be able to go up against the heavyweights on the recruiting trail on the football field that you have to in that division, which is clearly still the toughest division in all of college football.
So, you know, it's funny. I was talking to someone pretty close to Kiffin on Friday morning, the day before. I guess the day that the news broke that he was taking the job, that the job was his. And I said, I don't think he understands how excited people here are for him and are going to be for him. I'm like, there's a buzz in town. And I made a joke. I'm like, I never get out. I never go anywhere. And I can feel the buzz. You can hear people talking about it. And he said, no, he understands. He understands. And so I'm curious, you were with him when he on the plane, you were with him in the car, you were with him in those first few hours. Did the reception surprise him, or was it what he expected?
Well, he knew there would be a lot of people there. I mean, Kyle Campbell through told him, you know, Ole Miss is associated with communications. Listen, they're going. In fact, we were about, I don't know, an hour out, probably about halfway through the trip, maybe not even halfway through the trip, and somebody already posted a, you know, because we have internet on the plane. See, I'm not used to all this fancy private planes. You know, I'm used to flying commercial, man. So I'm not used to having internet.
I feel you, Chris.
So they were all still on Twitter, and Kyle reaches over and shows Lane a picture about, again, we maybe weren't even an hour into the trip. It's about a 2-hour trip. And there were already 100 or 200, you know, 200 people lined up. Somebody taking a picture from the airport. And Lane just sort of shook his head and smiled. So he knew there was going to be a reception. But I'll tell you what he said. As we were coming in, it was already night as we landed. It was just about to be night. It was night. And you could see the people sort of lining the outskirts of the runway, the tarmac, and there were lights. And Lane just sort of looked out and went, whoa. I mean, so I think that to some degree, he was a little taken aback. I don't think he expected a guy to hand him his baby. And we handed him back to the coach, get you a burner. I don't think he saw that coming. Lane, not much phases Lane Kiffin, you know, haven't known him now for 10 plus years. But I think that even was turned around. I heard the guy, you know, you know, like you hear something sometimes if you think you hear something. Because I was standing right behind Lane when that happened. But you're thinking, ah, he didn't really say that. And Lane turned around and said, "Guy just told me to get a burner." You know, it's sort of like, did he really say that? And then we get back to the hotel. They actually dropped us off at the hotel. He had the executive suite there at the end of Ole Miss. Great place, by the way. They did a wonderful job there. But, you know, I hadn't been there, I guess, since they did the tower renovation and all that. But great place right there outside the Grove. I'd like to have some of your money and be able to have a suite there on a weekend of game days.
Yeah.
Go walk from there to the Grove to the stadium. Yeah. But he got up in his suite and he checked his, you know, he started checking his voicemail. First voicemail he receives, because he's standing there checking it, from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, welcoming him back to the SEC, which I thought was pretty apropos.
All right, along those lines, so you've covered Lane Kiffin, you've covered this league, you understand regional and national media as well as anyone. You're now very much in the national media. How big of a story, I know how big of a story it is today, how big of a story will it be in September, in October, when Lane Kiffin is back on SEC sidelines coaching an SEC team? They open against Baylor in Houston. The people in Houston have to be ecstatic beyond belief because they just probably sold 30,000 tickets. How big of a story is this going to be in the national media?
It'll be huge. I mean, you'll have national people from all over, TV, you know, websites coming in because he's Lane Kiffin. He's the Eddie Haskell Flies. Of course, I'm dating myself. I'd say 80% of your people listening to your podcast.
No, I'm with
Eddie
you.
Haskell.
I know who Eddie Haskell
Anybody
is.
Anybody under 50 probably.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He's the character, the stirred-up character for Leave It to Beaver. But he's also that guy who's the football savant, you know, who can call plays with the best of them, who connects with players. Lane just resonates, man. People want to read and hear about Lane. They want to see him, you know, and he's just, there's guys like that in every sport that he's a little different from everybody else. You know, he's not your button down coach speech kind of guy. He's a younger version of Spurrier is what he is. He really is. And you know, I'm an admitted Spurrierite. You know, I go back with Steve 30 years, 25 years, and have done a lot on him and spent a lot of time with him. The league misses Spurrier. Don't you agree, Neil?
Nope.
The SEC misses Spurrier.
Pause in the podcast for a second to tell you about Master Cuts Lawn and Landscape, premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, but a lot more as well, including custom playgrounds, retaining walls, pool decks, outdoor living spaces with paver patios, forestry mulching, and much more. The patch your dream backyard is easier than you think with Master Cuts. You can get a free quote at gomastercuts.com or that same free quote at 662-607-7773. Again, that's gomastercuts.com.
Neil's picks are up on rebelgrove.com. They're sponsored by Southern Craft Stove and Tap. Southern Craft Stove and Tap has some amazing news to share. Just like the Rebels, they have something shiny and new. It is opened now, Southern Craft Stove and Tap in Tupelo, opened on Wednesday. You should check it out. Enjoy all your Southern favorites from their carefully crafted menu. Enjoy a curated cocktail or one of their many craft beers on tap. It's located in the new Bank Plus building at 205 East Troy Street. Come get in on the fun at Southern Craft Stove and Tap. And don't forget to avoid the traffic on the square at their Oxford location off Highway 7 and Sisk Avenue. Southern Craft Stove and Tap. In Tupelo and Oxford. Just 2 weeks away from Christmas now, time is running out to complete your holiday shopping, but thanks to our friends at Blue Delta Jeans, you can solve that product today. Call them, message them on social media, or visit their new website at bluedeltajeans.com to purchase a gift card and give your loved ones the best fitting pair of jeans they'll ever wear. Additionally, Oxford Exxon podcast listeners with the pattern on file can get $100 off the online price and a free 2-week rush on their order using the promo code PODCAST through the Blue Delta Jeans websites. Go ahead, take advantage of this deal so you can show up to your Christmas parties in style. We're also brought to you by the Oxford Park Commission. If you need a gift idea for your kids this holiday season, the Oxford Park Commission recommends signing up for the 2020 spring soccer season. If you played with them in the fall, you can rejoin your team for just $25. The cost for new registration is $50. The leagues are open for ages 5 to 15. The deadline to sign up is December the 22nd. For more information, visit oxfordparkcommission.com. And don't just accept what you see, but imagine something new. Step forward and chase after a better version of yourself. Every day, Corinth Dental in Corinth, Mississippi is helping people reinvent themselves one smile at a time. Dr. Bubba McQueen and Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative, state-of-the-art procedures, including Invisalign. These clear aligners are a virtually invisible way to improve your smile. So call Corinth Dental today for a no-cost digital scan of your teeth and let them show you the way to a straighter, healthier smile with Invisalign. It's CorinthDental.com. You know, SEC Media Days the last couple of years have been boring. There's no personality. It's become very dry. It's not fun. I think Kiffin changes the game a little. And now that Ed Orgeron's won and he gets to take his guard down a little, I think he's going to start becoming a little more fun. But he's, and I don't mean this as an intelligence thing, Orgeron's not as witty as Kiffin is. Kiffin has the ability to troll in a way that it's not obnoxious, but it's just funny. And so, like, there's Aaron Suttles of The Athletic, who I know you and I both know well, and no one covers Alabama better than Aaron does, had a story out yesterday about Kiffin trying to raid Saban's staff. That. And I was going to ask you about that. Do you buy that at face value, or do you take a little bit of that as Kiffin arriving in the league and very quickly sort of trying to tweak his former boss?
No, I think it's more, and Aaron, you're right, Aaron does a great job covering Alabama. I talked to Lane a ton about his staff, not, you know, specifically. You know, he's not just throwing out every name. He's going to try to get coaches on his staff, not just to get at Nick Saban or not just to get it at Ogeron or the Tennessee people. A, that he knows or has worked with. And just as importantly, Neil, people that know the SEC and have worked in the SEC footprint, and probably just as important, have recruited in the SEC footprint and know how to motivate and relate and connect to the players who have played in this league or are playing in this league. That is his biggest priority, and not just to get it Nick Saban. Yeah, I mean, he told me, he said, I'm ready to go crush it. You know, I'm ready to go crush Nick Saban. I'm ready to go crush Ed Ogeron. I'm ready to go crush Gus Malzahn. He is very much looking forward to diving right into the SEC waters, recruiting and playing. And that's who he is. And that's the kind of guy you want on your sideline. I don't care if it's Ole Miss or Alabama or, you know, Georgia or LSU. Those are the kind of guys that just thrive on that kind of competition and aren't afraid to bite back, you know, and aren't afraid to stir it up in their own way. Now, you know, Nick's not a guy that's going to stir it up, but I can promise you, nobody's more fiercely competitive than Nick Saban.
You know, Chris. Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's more of that he just wants to stick it to Nick Saban. Is there a part of that in him? Yeah, because you know everybody knows. I think most people know it didn't end for playing at Alabama the way he wanted it to, not getting to coach in that national championship game, and that's eaten at him over the years. But he's also, I can tell you this, he's also very appreciative and Lane's own way of Nick giving him a chance. Because he told me there on the flight, he said, listen, it had been for me going back and working with Coach Saban and spending that time with him and learning the way he does it and his organization. He said, I wouldn't be getting this shot right now. So there is that part of him that realizes that. And I don't know 10 years ago if that would have registered with Lane as much as it does now.
The big thing with Lane that Neil and I have been discussing all week, too, is he thinks Ole Miss can win in high level consistently. He thinks they can win a national title. That's why he took the job. It's not, you know, Ole Miss has had two coaches in a row, and this is not necessarily all bad, but Hugh Freeze and Matt Luke, who loved the place so much, and it was a very emotional connection. And then you've got Houston Nutt, who I don't think ever thought Ole Miss could win big in a way. I thought Houston always thought, hey, if I could win 8, 9 occasionally, 7. I can be here as long as I wanted to be, and they'll be happy with it and whatever. I think Ole Miss is somewhat invigorated right now because they have a guy who's just glad to be in the SEC. He sees it as a major program and a program that can win at a national level.
Well, that's, and again, you heard him. He said it at his press conference in his introduction, there's nothing like the SEC.
Right.
You know, the SEC is not for everybody, though. It really isn't. I mean, I've talked to numerous coaches who say, hey, not because they're scared, guys who are established and have won, but they just don't want any part of it. You know, David Cutcliffe always, speaking of former Ole Miss coaches, he always says it best. He says that the octagon of the SEC, and specifically the octagon of recruiting in the SEC, is not for everybody. Well, I can promise you it's for Lane Kiffin. He revels in that kind of thing. And I think that's what he looks forward to more than anything. And in his mind, if you can win the SEC and you can win against the people that you have to play against in the SEC, the coaches, I mean, just look at the coaches now in the West. You can win against anybody. Ole Miss has the resources. They've got the tradition. They've got the fan support. They have one, you know, for all that's out there, and regrettably the way it ended for you, they did win at a big level when you was there. Okay, and everybody says, well, they got put on probation. I love the fact in the SEC that everybody's pointing the finger at everybody else in the SEC. And it's always the people that are doing the accusing, and I'm not just saying coaches or administrators or fans, but they're the only ones that aren't cheating or aren't doing something or pushing the envelope. But everybody else is, okay? But they did win at a high level when he was there. And he deserves, you know, to get in right the way he wanted to, or anybody almost wanted to. But they beat Alabama in back-to-back years. How often did that happen in the last few years? They won the Sugar Bowl. So Ole Miss fans got a little taste of it. So if it happens under Hugh Freeze, and that was what, 6 years ago?
4 or 5 years ago, yeah.
5 years ago?
Yeah, 2015.
You know, why can Lane not do it? He just went to a place in Boca, and granted they're playing the Conference USA. I've been to Boca. I've seen the facility there, and they're getting ready to build a brand-new facility, which is really going to be nice. There's no facilities there. You know, that program is not even that old. He won 10 games in 3 years and won 2 conference championships. I think the highest paid assistant on his staff at Florida Atlantic was making, I don't know, $200,000 or just under $200,000.
Yeah, that's probably.
The guy can coach.
He
can coach and he can recruit. And so is he going to do it right away? Their schedule makes this brutal. I don't know that it happens right away, but I'm sure wouldn't bet against Lane Kiffin coming in there and winning at a pretty high level. Now, what's a high level? Is it winning 9 or 10 games and being in the mix in the West? Is it winning a couple of championships over the next 5 or 6 years? I mean, I don't know, but I bet you he's swimming in those waters.
Speaking of, as we start to wrap up, his tweet today, day 4 at Ole Miss football, have an awesome day. We are going big game, and he appears to have a little fishing emoji. A lot of people would say big game hunting. He calls it big game fishing. You can tell he's been living in Boca for a while. But it tells you a lot about his mindset, right? I mean, he's not, as to Chase's point, Houston Nutt, maybe even David Cutcliffe to some degree, they always thought, hey, this is the realm of recruit that I can get. I don't think Kiffin's going to sell out like that. I think he's going to go for the big guys.
Well, and everybody's different, too. I mean, I know David Cutcliffe. Well, there's nobody better than David Cutcliffe.
Oh, no, he's a coach. Fantastic guy. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think he probably went after a different type of player because that's the kind of player he felt like he coached better and could develop better. You know, some coaches are going to go after guys that are a little bit out there on the edge more because they feel like they relate to them. Every coach is a little bit different. And Lane is one of those guys who will go after players that he feels like he can coach. Now, are those guys the guys that are out there a little bit or those guys that – the Alabamas and LSUs are going for it. He's not going to be scared to go after players that the other big-time programs are going after. I mean, he's going to recruit the heck out of the Memphis area. He's going to recruit the state. You guys, now look at how many players out of the state of Mississippi over the last 15, 20 years have gone on to be big-time players elsewhere. You know, he's going to go after those players. And I think he understands that if he's going to win the SEC – long term, you might have a year, you know, every once in a while, but you better go out and beat the teams you got to beat on your schedule on the recruiting trail, at least as much as they beat you. When Steve went to South Carolina, and there's no better play caller, I mean, Steve Spurrier changed the way he played football in the SEC. You know what happened there, guys? Go back and look at who he recruited when he first got there. Now, Steve hates to recruit, and that's what got him there at the end, is he didn't have the guys around him. But look at the lineup of players he brought into South Carolina. Clowney, Marcus Lattimore, Alshon Jeffrey, DJ Swearinger. All those guys are still playing in the NFL, except for Lattimore, who got hurt. And they're all guys that everybody wanted, USC, Florida State, Florida, Alabama. Nick Saban told me he flew into Rock Hill, South Carolina, and felt like Clowney was as good a player at that position he'd ever seen, but South Carolina was able to keep him at home. That's what Lane's got to do at Ole Miss, and he's going to win there at Ole Miss.
Really appreciate the time. Again, it was fun seeing you on Monday to catch up a little bit. Great story. I know everyone who I have heard from has raved about it, loved it. If anything, they just wished it would have been twice the length, which just speaks to the volume of speaks to how good the story was. Thanks so much for the time. I hope to talk to you soon. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Same to you guys. It's always great to catch up. Take care.
That was Chris Lowe here on the Rafters Hotline. First time I've done that. Great story. Good to hear from Chris. Could have talked to him for a while. A lot of stuff there inside that story. Again, you and I kind of skimmed it. It was coming out and right after, and then I read it a little more closely later on. The big thing to me, partly our fault, but it's our job. Given all the smoke around, how well he handled the FAU part of that, keeping his players engaged, and frankly, the leadership and the respect back and forth that the players were able to joke with him about it and understand the situation. Because look, Ole Miss saw this in the team meeting with Matt Luke, or after Matt Luke was fired. Emotions, kids, running out, different things. The fact he was able to kind of keep them together, get some jokes, and then get them all after and go, hey, just be honest. Here's what happened. It's because of you guys. If we'd sucked at Florida Atlantic, I'm not the Ole Miss coach today. We went and won a lot of games. Yep. Appreciate you. You did it. All the success in the world. There is a certain amount of give and take there that's very impressive that wouldn't always get pulled off.
Well, and it speaks volumes to how many people I've talked to who knew Lane Kiffin in 2008, 2009, 2010, who will tell you how much different he is today. Yeah, he's still got the Twitter personality and stuff, but how much more mature he is today than he was then. The one thing he most, Mike Griffith, you'll hear this on the Beer Garden. I think you guys will really enjoy this Beer Garden. If you don't normally listen to the Beer Garden, listen to this one. I think you'll really, really like it. A lot of stuff about Lane Kiffin, about Matt Luke, about a lot of things in the SEC. Mike Griffith is one of the best. And Mike Griffith, like Chris Lowe, was covering Tennessee back then. And Mike, unlike a lot of people, doesn't really hold it against Kiffin for leaving. Says, I get it. USC was a better job. It was an opportunity to go back to a place where, we forget because it's been so long. USC back then was just phenomenal. That was right after the run that Pete Carroll had. Mm-hmm. And Lane Kiffin was a big part of that. You don't think that was a good time to be Lane Kiffin? At that time, in your 20s, as an assistant on that USC staff that's winning 30 in a row or whatnot, Reggie Bush and Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart.
Three Heisman winners and I think 34 in a row at one point.
And he was talking about the one thing, though, was that he didn't leave the way he should have left. There's a way to do it, and you saw that on Friday and Saturday. His players joked with him about, hey, every time a plane lands, is that Arkansas coach? Is that Ole Miss coach? It's obvious. But you can't lie about it, but he still got his team ready.
They played for him.
There was a rumor on Thursday, hey, Lane Kiffin's in Oxford. And I said, no, he's not. Yeah, he is, Neil. I talked to someone in the IPF, and it's him. And I said, it's not him. How do you know? I said, because he's not doing it that way. He's not going to abandon his team. He's going to coach his team. He did that long interview on Thursday, but he did not do it until Thursday night. And anybody who's ever covered college football knows Thursday night is family night for almost every staff out there because it's done by then.
If it's not done by then, you're done.
You've put the you've put the playbook in. It's the game plan's in. If you throw something else at the kids later than that, you're going to confuse them. You're going to overwhelm them. So he waited until Thursday night to sit down with Ole Miss. He did not do anything to hurt his team. And it's my understanding that on Friday, while some of the stuff was getting negotiated, he basically spent that day like any other typical Friday before a game, kind of with his team, going through some meetings, had to walk through general stuff. And then on Saturday, to your point, his team played for him. I think that speaks volumes. Houston Nutt was on that. And this isn't picking on Houston because he wasn't the only person who thought this. Here you had Bill Clark and UAB. Bill Clark had, quote, stayed. Yeah, nobody got after him. Bill Clark had stayed, loyal. Lane Kiffin's gone. It was the lead story on college football game day or whatever. And yet his kids played really hard for him. That does say a lot about the respect that they had for him, the respect for the way that he'd handled the situation, and for the fact that they wanted him to go out a champion. I thought it said a lot. I really did. His team played super hard for him. They had a good game plan. They executed it. And then after the game, he waited till he got to the locker room where he could tell them, hey, fellas, it's because of you that I got this. And yeah, I got it. And you know I got it. And I know you know I got it. But I did want to tell you to your faces. I think it says a lot for the guy from a growth standpoint. Yeah, see, people, I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm just arguing people. Grindhart says, of course they're going to play for him. It's a championship game. I can point at championship games, conference championship games, that kids don't play with the same fire. It's UAB did not play particularly inspired football. It's late in the season. Teams that have fractures, you see it.
Because I watch more of that game than I'm willing to admit at the moment. I thought UAB lost composure pretty quickly in that game. They kind of got popped early, and that was that.
Georgia lost composure against LSU on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of quit a little. It's a top 10 program, top 5 team all year.
Winning in.
Kind of rolled over at the end.
Yeah. Now you aren't going to win, but I get it.
Right. They kind of rolled over at the end. It's not a given. They're not robots, man.
I know your affinity for it. I asked Jeffrey earlier in the show. I mean, you were obviously here. You get a Shawshank reference now on top of your Lane Kiffin love and everything else. I mean, it's becoming simpatico a little bit here, Mr. McGrady.
Well, I just like that he doesn't take this football thing so damn seriously. It is a game. Have some fun with it. It's not a cure for cancer. Nobody gets executed at the end. He's having some fun. He's letting people see his personality, which I think is interesting. His personality is a little bit more introverted and homebodied than people think it is.
Now, while Chris is right in so many ways, he's nowhere near the extrovert that Steve Spurrier is. He's not that bombastic kind of it's very similar in a way, but...
But Spurrier was that way, too. Spurrier liked to kind of hang out. He liked to go play on a golf course with just one or two friends.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between Spurrier and Kiffin, where Ole Miss fans should be excited... Spurrier was an offensive genius. I mean, a genius. Saw things, processed things so fast in game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's any match for that. Lane Kiffin included.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see what Lane Kiffin would say if said, hey, people compare you to Steve Spurrier from an offensive game. Do you think you see and process things as quickly as he does? That would be an interesting thing. But where they're similar, where they're different is that Kiffin loves the recruiting. He's an elite recruiter, has always been considered an elite recruiter. Spurrier never got that tag, never wanted that tag. Now, Spurrier did surround his staff with the elite recruiters, but he was never one.
He wasn't a worker. I mean, I'm not in a bad way, but no. He went home. We're not killing you. When it's done, it is done. He's not obsessive. Yeah.
His teams were fresh. His coaches were fresh. Coaches liked working for him because he's like, hey, why are we watching 8 more hours of film? The plan's in. We know what we're going to do. We know what they do. Go home. Go play golf. He wanted to get home in time to go play 9 holes. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Hey, if I get out of here at 5:30, 5:45.
I get dark till 8. I got a minute.
I get to the course. I can play 9 holes real quick. Get home. Have some dinner.
See the kids before bed and we're all good.
Yeah, have a gin and tonic and get up and do it again tomorrow. I mean, that was kind of his mentality. In many ways, I think he had it figured out. Of course, it helped that he had
a lot of talent,
incredible IQ, and a big budget where they could hire the right kind of coaches, and they got elite talent, and he was a very good developer and all of those things.
Take a break.
But I think Kiffin's going to be similar now. I mean, these people that think Lane Kiffin is just going to, in game week, burn the midnight oil, that's not his deal. In fact, I was talking to someone last week about Kiffin, and they said he is known for shorter practices, full speed, let's go. But there's a lot of the midweek practices where these old school coaches do the 3-hour deals. Lane Kiffin's known entrance to exit 90 minutes.
We talked about this. Again, what probably should excite you if you're an Ole Miss fan from a profile standpoint. With Hugh Freeze and his staff, they won. Staff wasn't overly great. top to bottom, and they weren't overly efficient. Lane Kiffin, at least in his mind, is the picture of efficiency. I'm going to do exactly right now what I'm going to do, and I'm going to move on to the next thing, and then I'm going to go to the next thing, and I'm going to go to the next thing.
So what did he learn from Saban?
Even his scheduling on Monday, very precise. He had a donor thing, then he had the press conference, and then okay, team, and then
that's
recruiting, and then we
thing.
Come back, and then okay, I mean, at some point, okay, I got to eat, but if we'll do that, then we'll move on, we'll do the next thing,
that's
we'll do the next thing, we'll do the next thing.
Kirby Smart's that way. Mike Griffith, again, I think you guys are going to like this beer garden. Mike Griffith talked about that's one thing that Matt Luke's going to learn. Look, Griffith knows a lot of people, and he said that the consensus is that Matt Luke is going to get another head coaching opportunity down the road. He's highly thought of. He said Kirby's going to be able to teach him a lot about time efficiency, about who he surrounds himself with, about getting a little bit more of an edge, that Kirby Smart wakes up and each day there is no wasted minute. Mm-hmm. He doesn't waste time with people that can't really help him. And I thought, if you look back on Matt's tenure, I thought he did do that. He tried to appease way too many people.
Elaine's learned how to just go, nope.
Here's what we're going to do. An example is, you know, I mean, you don't see any local media getting sit-downs with Lane Kiffin right now. Doesn't have time. And quite frankly, we can't help him. Let me keep it real. If you're going to do this podcast or the Dan Patrick Show, which show's better for you?
Of course.
If you can do Feinbaum or this podcast, which are you going to do? Feinbaum, he has a far greater reach. I mean, I'm just being honest.
And your local people are still getting it, like fan-wise. You know, your fans are still seeing it. Doesn't matter to them either way.
I mean,
and frankly, he's doing it. I think in some ways, maybe I'm giving too much credit here. I don't know. But in some ways, it's also showing that it's different. Showing the apathy is done. Hey, I can get the Dan Patrick interview. I can get the Cowherd interview. I can get the whatever interview. We're being talked about. It's a brand. It's whatever. I mean, there is something to that as well. So
Doors Rule wants to know about how much access we'll have in the spring and fall.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah, no clue.
I mean, my guess is not much.
Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy. They're on South Lamar in Oxford. 662-236-2222 is the phone number. It's your flu shot. Flu's still going around. There's your friends that are getting affected with it at this point. $0 copay on most insurance plans. You don't have to wait in line or anything. They get you out as quickly and painlessly as possible. That's for Tyson Drugs on the Square in Holly Springs. Or again, G&M Pharmacy. They're on South Lamar in Oxford. The number one more time, 662-236-2222.
Do you know who Cole Swindell is?
I don't know. Why?
Oh, Thomas Rhett. Caroline sent a big family text about Thomas Rhett's coming or somewhere.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Anyway, everybody's like, oh, that's cool. I saw that. And I said, who is he? Revealing my age. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB also offers its customers the commercial checking account, now paying 1% interest as long as you keep $10,000 in the account. It comes with fully interactive online banking. All you got to do is get in touch with them. LiveOxford, BankOxford.com or 662-234-6668. They'll take care of you, and they are FDIC insured. We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in and test drive one today. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about a golf trip, a cruise, an anniversary trip, a trip to Florida, a getaway, whatever the case may be, highly recommend that you get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits simply not available to other travelers. He's traveled the globe for 37 years. No one knows travel better than he does. Get in touch with him. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. He will give you options. 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John that you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. It's a Marriott property in downtown Jackson. You should go check it out. The Festival of Trees going on now at the Westin Jackson. You can also visit Soul Spa, unwind a little bit with a ultimate luxury spa experience, and then head over to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. creative craft cocktails, curated wine list, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. It's fantastic. You'll love it at Estelle tonight.
Let's see. What did we miss today? What else we got?
I don't know. Beats me, man.
You're so singularly focused just right now. I
yesterday caught myself hitting the wall just a little bit. I can feel the Christmas break coming. It's gonna be good. Gonna be good for the my brain.
You think so?
Yeah. I started thinking about, like, I always do that, the 10 thoughts at the end of the year. I do the countdown of 10 things. A lot easier this year.
You think so?
Stuff happened, man. I mean, you got Lane Kiffin, Matt Luke getting fired, NCAA tournament.
The Egg Bowl turning out really well for Ole Miss.
Yeah, Elijah Moore's deal. You've got
Super
Terrence
Regional
Davis.
And baseball not getting rolled over.
Yeah, Super Regional, yeah. The Plumlee thing, the Plumlee Corral thing.
Did you say from an analytical standpoint, Terrence Davis far and away the best rookie so far this season?
Yeah, he's got a shot at rookie of the year. Right now, it's him or Ja Morant. No joke.
Crazy. It's crazy.
There's a lot that's happened this year, though.
I saw on the board, TD was playing point last night. Did I say that right?
I think he played a few minutes of it.
Okay. Is that
Kyle Lowry's
Can that
out.
Be a thing?
Well, probably not long term, but if he can show that he can play it a few minutes without
give you a little microwave for it.
Without killing his team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty tough being an NBA point guard.
It's
a tough role. But if you can play, he can play probably against some backup points.
You're just adding to your toolbox.
Minutes. Sure.
Just roll in minutes and hey, add to the toolbox. That's what it's about at this point. I mean it's
I'm super happy for him. I mean, just ecstatic for him. He's a great kid. Great kid.
Neil's picks up at the site. By the way, we got like 6 or 7 games, a lot of NFL. There's nothing going on college-wise but Army-Navy this week.
I'm the only one that picked Army. More as a shout-out to my friend Frank.
I picked him to cover.
Yeah, I picked him to win.
Well, we don't care about overall record, Mr. McCready.
It's true.
That is not relevant to the discussion. Neil looking for any way in the world to say he won if he ends up winning the overall, but not the against the spread.
I'm just happy to be in it.
You have
at
a 2-game lead, don't you?
Something like that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised we didn't pick one game this week. Take next week off. Pick one bowl game.
And we call it a
day.
You
just got to get like one of three, or we got to miss one or three, and that thing's over.
We're contractually obligated to pick through the Super Bowl. Yeah.
So we got to pick something.
Yeah. So.
A lot of NFL games, though, so I will fall just further and further back because, I mean, bad at the NFL. Bad.
It has
bad.
Hurt you.
Oh, I've been awful. I mean, college, I mean, like rolling. And NFL, it's awful.
I went back
to picking the opponent of the Saints this week.
I've tried
that crap twice and lost both times and said, okay, that's it. I'm done.
I'm
We're finished.
I'm shocked. Because this week, it's got Saint blowout written all over it.
You sure?
Yeah, it's Colts.
9.5, though.
Yeah, it's a big line.
But it's a home Monday night game.
It's a big line. Colts aren't used to playing on that stage that much. Saints are.
Saints, big-time loss yesterday. Marcus Davenport out for the year.
Yeah.
Picked up the guy that was drafted by the Buccaneers. His name is Noah Spence. Sorry, it was slipping my mind there.
Apologies to the Spence family.
Yeah,
for
you know, it's Noah, not LP. Let's see. Rendon, Angels, 7 years, $245 million. Scott Boras' clients are getting paid this offseason. I know we're all really shocked and blown away. Kind of like when Jimmy Sexton signs a football coach.
Carson came down and said, Dad, did you hear about Rendon? And I'm like, no. Caroline's like, he's on the phone. I was like, hold up. What'd he get?
A lot.
What'd he get? $245 million? Something like that?
Oh, did you see that? Well, you did. I saw Buster Olney retweeted it yesterday. Cubs already thinking about not extending Rizzo too. Yeah, already not talking about the talks.
I tweeted that we should cancel Christmas.
What's going on? What's the deal? Are they cheap? Is it that simple?
I think that two things have happened. Mm-hmm. One is that analytics are showing them that keeping this core together doesn't make a lot of sense. And then two, I think that all those renovations around Wrigley cost far more than they thought it would, and they're trying to repad their pockets. And I'm going to tell you, with that fan base, you better be careful. It's not the lovable losers that come out to the ballpark to have a beer anymore. They're there to win. I've been there a lot.
You can't slip back.
There's a shift. Well, yeah. It's very similar to Ole Miss. You couldn't go from, hey, we're going to go to the Sugar Bowl and compete nationally to, hey, y'all, isn't this great? Another family get together, y'all. Doesn't work. Can't. It's hard to go backwards.
I did see that, Will. Somebody had Gunnar Hoglund, the number 9 prospect for the 2021 class in college. It's time to show it. We always do that thing when baseball gets here. We got a while. I'm not talking baseball today, but give me one guy's stats. I want Gunnar Hoglund.
Yeah.
Can he be that number 1 or that number 2 with Doug Nikhazy? Can they fill that out? Because the third guy is going to be a freshman. They're probably going to throw Derek Diamond in that Sunday spot. So can you get that jump from Hoglund that you need? So
especially with the executioner sitting there in the AD chair. You never know, man. All right, we haven't talked about it, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because, quite frankly, it's softball and it doesn't move the dial. Did you read the story? Did it do anything for you? Or are you like you where you felt like there was a very key word missing from that story?
It left me with a couple of thoughts. My first thought was optically just a horrible look for Ole Miss.
Yeah, terrible look for Lynette Johnson.
Right.
Just awful.
Yeah.
Awful. And frankly, if you're going to get attacked like that in a story,
you've got to comment.
You've got to comment. Don't come on. Learn some PR. You can't do that, Lynette. That's an awful look. One that you'll have a very difficult time recovering from. I don't think you care what we think, but I'm letting you know.
You
came across as a PR disaster.
What was written was terrible. What was written optically is awful. Look, I don't have softball sources. I just don't. I don't know anyone. I don't. I mean, Mike Smith and I are cordial. He might know my name. I don't know.
I feel confident he doesn't know my name. The couple of times we've talked, he was cordial.
Yeah, he's fine.
But softball for us has only moved the dial one weekend. We've tried it a little bit. It just doesn't. And other people go overboard with it for reasons that I'm not completely understanding, but whatever.
So, point being, optically bad look. I can't let go of this thing, though, and I've heard a little bit, but not enough to even be sore, so I'm not going to do that. I've got this little feeling that there's more to it, that something is missing here. There's a couple things I've heard, but I'm not going there because I have nowhere near proof on this. It feels like there was more, and it just didn't come out, and it has moved it into a really bad place from an optic standpoint.
I think there's one more thing. I'm with you. I've heard it from people separate of you.
Yeah.
In the last 24 hours, consistently enough to believe it to be true, and I'm not touching
it. And now, look, it can be multiple things. Everything in that article could be 100% true,
yes.
But then there'd be two or three other things, too.
Well, actually, I think the stuff in that article is essentially true.
Damning look.
Terrible. She's a good writer, but I think good reporter, I should say.
Yeah.
I think there's one more thing. She can't write it either. We can't say it, yet it's there, and that's where I wonder, why did Ole Miss let that come out the way that it did, where that's damning. I'm stunned that there was no response. The Ole Miss refused comment, basically.
Well, and also softball, as much as any sport, like everybody goes, oh, okay, non-revenue sport, softball. Softball has got a hellaciously large following nationally, and it blows up on social media.
Yeah.
So it's not this story that's going to hide or get buried or anything. This thing hits Facebook and Twitter in places and just takes off like a rocket.
Well, like I saw Alex McDaniel's tweet this morning, this is the biggest story in Ole Miss. And at first I was like, that's really hyper. And then I thought, no, you might be right. From a social media standpoint, this is a big story.
Yeah.
Because it's got some Title IX
stuff.
It's
what I've noticed. I mean, you made this joke. I don't remember what it was. I think it was when Ole Miss, didn't they like hit a grand slam to beat Florida in softball or something last spring?
Florida or Tennessee or somebody.
We just took the video and put it on Facebook or something. Put it like in a story form where I could see the thing and put it up and like started getting these notifications. And I thought, on Facebook, it blows up more than anything else we do, barring some huge football news, obviously. But otherwise, it does. It just takes off. And I thought, no, this story's going to take off. I saw people who I'm just friends with on Facebook who aren't Ole Miss fans, who have no whatever, but just kind of softball people that are talking about it and sharing it and retweeting it and all this stuff. And I went, oh, this becomes a university look at this point.
Yeah, it's – and I give Keith Carter a complete pass on this. He was busy.
Had a lot going on.
But now that – the dust has settled a little and Kiffin's out on the recruiting trail and they're doing, I know they're putting staff together and I'm sure they're very busy over there with contracts and all the things.
Well, and we had reason to believe from pretty good sourcing that this was in the works of several days before it was actually announced that this was known what was headed, where it was headed.
Yes, they had already begun the process.
They had decided Mike Smith was not returning as the head coach.
They'd already begun the process of searching for his successor.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel knowledgeable enough to go past that.
No, as I tell people all the time, if I'm ever going to get sued, it's going to be over something really big. I'm not going to get sued over college softball.
Right.
If I'm going to put it all on the line, it's going to have some stakes to it.
Yeah. No, I understand. So that's kind of where we are there. We'll have more tomorrow. Again, that beer garden with Mike Griffith will be up here in a little bit. So check that out. Yesterday, you get a mind on your money. You got a mind on my money, sorry. And a soft verbal soft recently verbal. As well. So that stuff is up.
Jay and I are taping this afternoon. Greatest pot of the
What are y'all
South.
Talking about? What hard-hitting topics am I getting on GPS today?
Oh, man, there's just no telling. In fact, the list of...
That area before you start the show, really, is what I'm interested
in. The list of potential topics is just so...
You got a few different things today you could hit.
Like what?
Let's not ask Jay about the Ole Miss softball situation. No, let's not do that.
Don't go there.
That's a decision we're going to make today.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what we'll talk about. Christmas parties.
Okay.
Jay probably feels like the type that goes to a lot of Christmas parties. Are you going to a lot of Christmas parties?
My attendance is way down on those this year compared to most years.
Yeah.
Usually
you have like 15 of them.
Yeah.
Like
usually
night
it's
after night.
December is terrible in a way in that matter. But yeah, mine have dwindled a little bit this year, voluntarily and involuntarily a little bit, both sides. So, yeah, got a couple coming up, but not anything crazy.
We went to Laura and her two of her very good friends. And their husbands, which included me, went to Ravine last night for a little Christmas party. That's probably the extent of my Christmas party.
So you've done
party
two already?
Two?
You had the one where you were hammered the other night.
I do her Christmas parties.
I don't know why Jay continues to say I don't like him. I think it's become a bit at this point. I think he just likes repeating it.
I actually think he's concerned that you don't like
him. Do you really?
Yeah.
Really?
I think he's concerned that you just don't care for him at all.
That's not true.
That you don't, or that he thinks that?
That he thinks that.
Okay.
I think,
here's an opportunity for you to say on the record, are you okay with
Jay
Tate?
I love Jay Tate, okay. Yes. Jay and I are great. He can call me whatever the hell he wants to call me. It'll be fine. He's the one that did forget my name. He's admitting that publicly now at this point.
For whatever reason, your name's been forgotten a lot. Ed Orgeron called you Seth. You know, it happens.
Oh, God. Okay. Plenty of podcasts coming your way. Again, we will have more on rebelgrove.com if any of this coach search stuff pops from an assistant standpoint, and then more. So we will talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Have a good day and all that stuff. Talk to you then.